They've won more division titles, conference championships, and Super Bowl wins than any other team.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented by MeUndies. Go get you some. Find out how soft your bottom can feel. That's my own. I made up that tagline. That's not their own official one. I made that up. But to the matter at hand, who chose that clip at the top? What do I want to hear about Trump talking about the Patriots winning Super Bowls? Is that you, Spaghetti, behind the glass?
No, that was an MVP call.
Why would she do that?
Because it's funny because the Steelers won more, thought it was like, you know, giving props to your Steelers.
Oh, I see.
You really should have been able to repeat that.
So wait a sec. Oh, I missed that. So Trump claimed, do that again, yes.
They've won more division titles, conference championships, and Super Bowl wins than any other team.
I had no, I didn't even catch that. Why is that not news? Because I guess he always lies, so Nobody calls him on his nonsense anymore if it's football related.
That wasn't even the biggest mistake he made.
What did he do? He said something about somebody
he said
had
that, he said that
went
then,
for three?
And they decided to go for three.
Shame the devil. And he touched that terrible towel about a year ago, too.
He
sullied that.
Ugh.
Thank goodness the Cleveland Browns were on the schedule and they broke the negative streak and then the Steelers took off from there. Anywho, you hear his voice. He's back in Studio 66 and none too soon because it's schedule release day. We're going to tell you what's on the schedule. I have it right in front of me here. You may be watching it along on NFL Network as we read it, or maybe it's Friday or Saturday and you want to hear us pour over it. Either way, we're going to go over this thing a little bit with our pal all the way from London, England. He serves as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's great to be back in Studio 66.
What a pleasure as you move up in the signature sports organization on the planet Earth as you ascend to the heights there. Improbably with your English accent.
Right.
But you still make time for Studio 66.
Always when I can, I do.
That's very kind of you.
Continue to.
More Super Bowl wins than anyone.
Than anyone.
I mean, nobody. Does anybody even check what he said? That's nonsense? Nobody. I mean, it's not on him.
Exactly. He's not the one. I mean, that particular speech, I don't believe he sat down and said, okay, I'll write this one, guys. So is everyone just making stuff up in the Casablanca, as they say in Mexico?
Casablanca, they call it. That makes sense, I guess.
The White House, that is.
I never thought
Spanish.
Of the movie.
I didn't until I realized that, and then I was like, oh, Casablanca.
You had a vacation, Handsome. You went off to Utah.
How did you find it? Of all places. How did I find it? It just drove right for a while, and then there it was, Utah.
Well, I meant
how did you find it?
You know, how did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it a lot. It's a beautiful place.
It's right?
Like being in a movie, like a Western, like all the time. You go over one hill, and then you're like, oh! We're still in a Western, but it looks a little bit different to the last one.
I say it all the time. I've driven through the state a couple of times, and if you're driving east to west, you know, if you've never done it before, as you drive on the 70 that crosses our country, that's the middle route. There's a northern one that takes you through the Badlands. The southern route gets kind of boring. After you get El Paso, and then you could fall asleep and just drive a straight line through the deserts.
Yep. New Mexico, all that stuff.
I would advise if you have a choice, take the middle route because the Rockies are beautiful and it's something to see as you go through Colorado. But what I didn't know about was Utah, and you're exactly right. Every few miles, the topography changes somehow.
Slightly, but still epic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't they shoot more movies out there?
Well,
it has everything.
The place that one of the places we stayed was apparently around there was where Butch Cassidy used to hide out. For real.
Ooh.
And that was like, you know, he would, if he wanted to go lose himself for a bit because the heat was getting too hot, he would go and hide out around that area.
What? How do you think you would have made your way in the Old West?
I think I'd have done well.
Really?
I really genuinely feel.
What do you
like
think you would have done?
Just shot people.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, you would have like been an outlaw.
Gunslinger.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you, like, you've been
people,
a bandit?
I would have been like the guy that I would walk in the saloon and it'd be like,
oh,
don't look at him.
Put the cards away.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the least of it. You take one too many hands from him, he'll fill you full of lead.
Exactly.
Handsome Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You? How do you think you'd have got on?
I'd like to think I would have been a great outlaw. Or, I don't know, maybe I would have worn the badge.
Maybe.
I probably would have started out as an outlaw.
And then they'd have
become,
you
know what, to fight, we got to find somebody who can understand that mind.
Yeah.
And I would have been the sheriff.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I definitely would have had a lot of whiskey.
Yes.
You know?
That's really where I was
going. I like that they used to just give you in the Old West, if the movies are to be believed, that, you know, you order whiskey, they just gave you a bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You didn't even have to answer. I guess it was a simpler time because they didn't even have a wide range of booze. You know,
just
give me a drink. Like, well, we only have one thing.
Yeah.
Here it is. It's brown. Drink that.
And I'd like a glass. Okay, here's a glass that someone just used that you can have now.
Yeah. That wouldn't have been my favorite part.
Yeah.
That would have been
but
issue number one in the Old West.
That was the reality.
Yeah. I also think that people must have smelled bad back then.
Horrible.
Until, like, the last, you know, when did people start bathing as humans? When did humans start to clean themselves? I feel like we're behind on that. Like,
yeah.
You know, cats, I assume, since they first, you know, made the scene, started licking themselves
well,
all over.
That's not hygiene. I mean, if you...
I know, I don't
said,
wish I could
I'm,
lick
you
myself.
Said, no, but if you said I'm now, instead of bathing, I'm just going to lick myself clean every day, you would not be... You would smell bad.
No. I may have even tried that, like, in, like, when I was 6 or 7, like, the parts that I could lick, I might have tried to pass that off as
right.
a bath.
Yeah, I bathed.
Mo Damashek. Yeah, I licked off... licked all the popsicle nonsense off already, Mo. Anyhow, listen, we're getting sidetracked,
like
and we have a lot
topic.
To get to. It's the schedule release. Ooh, also coming up, Dwayne Brown, left tackle supreme for the Houston Texans. We had a very nice conversation. Full range of issues. We go over his draft experience. We talk about blocking in practice against J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Mercilus, and the rest, and what that's like and what he felt about. Pretty interesting. You know, he's like a lot of those Texans. They were rooting for a month ago to hear Tony Romo is coming to town, and
right.
he's going to ride in with the white hat and make us a Super Bowl contender. So what was his reaction that day, and what does he think is going to happen going forward in the draft and beyond before the season kicks off? Speaking of the season kicking off, I mentioned the schedule. Let's start going through it, and we'll mix in some of the other stuff that we
cool.
wanted to do here, Handsome. But week one, we now know the Thursday, September 7th, season kickoff, and I never want to play in it unless I have won the Super Bowl. And that means good things have happened to you in the preceding season. You don't want to be the sacrificial lamb, especially if the New England Patriots are sitting atop the football mountain. The Kansas City Chiefs are that team. What do you think?
I think it's great. So, Dave, I just looked it up. It's 140 days from today.
Ooh.
That's how long we got to wait. So we're counting them off on our fingers.
That seems longer than it should.
It seems longer than it should be. I reckon it'll go fast, though. I'm excited. I think that the Chiefs, you know, that's I people are down on Alex Smith still. I enjoy watching the Chiefs. I think they'll give them a good game. And it's a good place to start the season. It's not the very best game on the Patriots schedule. You don't want to blow out that one. They're going to play they're going to have a rematch of the Super Bowl. I think we can I tell people when that is, or is that jumping?
Sure, no, that's fine.
So have a rematch.
Unless you know who's in it, that might spoil things if you know who the two teams in it are, or do you?
What are you talking about?
The Super Bowl.
No, I'm talking about a rematch of Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons.
Oh.
That was one of the games that they speculated might be the kickoff game. I'm glad they didn't put that on the kickoff. So the Falcons against
I would rather it be the Falcons, to be
really?
Honest with you. And I wouldn't mind if that was if that just became the tradition.
Well, it can't be because they don't always play each other.
Oh, right. That's true. Okay.
Don't
shame me.
All right. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
I'll tell you what I feel. I don't like this. I don't like this week one. And you can tell the commissioner. You can tell
the whole of week one. You don't.
Brian Rolapp or anybody else in the league office. I'll tell it to their face. I won't really, though. So
no,
don't
right.
actually contact them.
But
I don't like. I've said it before. Now I have to say it again. We've been walking in the desert all offseason, 140 days. We've already been walking for many moons already since the Falcons gave up that huge lead to the Patriots. All we want is football. By the time September comes around, we don't care how quality the matchups are. Just give us football.
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
I'll watch the Jaguars play the Browns. I don't care. But instead, they have to give us really good games in week one and waste them, in my opinion. Why do we want – why, if I'm a Ravens or a Bengals fan, why do I want a divisional game against a good divisional foe in week one? You're going to be – one of these teams is going to be 0-1 by in the division. That's too much. They shouldn't do that.
Dave, I'm not good enough at math to try and explain this, but I doubt that they would be able to make a schedule in week one without there being some
division. All right. I know that, like, the Giants and Cowboys always play.
Have you ever been to a restaurant where you arrive, you walk into the restaurant, and maybe you get the menu, you're thinking about the menu, and then just then they give you a little soupçon, something nice, something to try. You know what I mean?
A soupçon.
A soupçon.
What do they call that, too? I'm trying to think of the...
Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche.
Okay, so the amuse-bouche, that's the actual word for it. That's the one I was trying to think of. Tastes delicious. And it's like, whoa, this place is going to be great. But actually, if you think about eating that entire amuse-bouche, it would be too rich. Because it's always something that's really, really delicious. What week one is, I think, is your amuse-bouche. It is like, it's that thing where it's like, whoa.
I hear you, but
the Seahawks are playing the Packers. That is delicious. And then they get, then you get into the meat of the season, the real meal. Week six, you're not going to find so many of those things floating.
I guess I hear you, but the amuse-bouche is a 22-ounce steak for the Ravens and Bengals and Giants and Cowboys.
Ravens and Bengals is not a 22-ounce steak. The Seahawks against the Packers, not a divisional game.
Playoff
steak. That's your steak. That's your.
We'll talk about steaks. The playoffs are the steaks.
That's your steak game. But I'm sorry, I get that you're an AFC North wonk, but I'm afraid the Ravens and against the Bengals is not something that is considered by the majority of NFL fans.
I don't care.
Be a gigantic meal.
Well, the Steelers and Browns play too. I don't want to be
Owen. Steelers and the Browns.
I don't want divisional games in week one. I think that's a simple request.
Well, it's not possible.
I also feel like, I mean, the metaphor I always use is I would not like to, if I've been out in the desert, I'm not going to be picky about what meal you serve me.
I get that.
I'll take crackers. I don't care. Just give me some plain.
Yeah, here you go. Here's
give
the
me
Tampa
some plain
Bay Buccaneers at the Miami Dolphins.
There's second rate 7-grain bread. I'll eat it. I'll fill my belly with it. I don't care. Now I'm satiated. Now let's talk. Let's talk steaks. Now let's talk a lobster. In week two and beyond.
Yeah, anyway. There are some there. All right. So
what else do you like? The Buccaneers and Dolphins.
I mean, that to me is crackers. That's an interconference matchup that ultimately will be probably relatively forgettable.
I've said it before. I'm saying it again. I'm pinning some hopes to your Dolphins and to the Bills to both be quality teams this year. What that means, I'm not sure, but I will say they both must be good because just once, can't Tom Brady and the Patriots have to go through a decent division to get to the postseason?
They have some rough moments on their schedule. We'll probably get to that, I'm sure, somewhere down the line if we have enough time. But they've got their road to the Super Bowl is not as easy as it has been in the past. They've got a bunch of home games on the backside of their schedule. I think after their bye week, they play 3 home games and 5 away games with 3 in a row. Bills, at Dolphins, at Steelers in December.
They'll be...
Yeah, they'll probably
15
be 13-1
or whatever.
Exactly.
So the Chargers, our Los Angeles Chargers, play at the Broncos on the Monday night doubleheader. That one starts off Saints at the Vikes and then Chargers at the Broncos. Your week two, Thursday night kickoff game, the Texans at the Bengals. Not too bad. That's a pretty good game.
That'll be fun.
On
NFL Network.
I like to cite the best game. I'm literally going through this. I've just gotten a look at this as we speak here. Cowboys at Broncos, 2 big name teams at least. The Packers at the Falcons, an NFC title game. Redo there. Eagles at Chiefs is compelling because, of course, that's Andy Reid's old team coming to town to show them how he's been living without them. The Ravens have 2 divisional games. They host the Browns in week 2. Steelers host the Vikings. Week 3, You go Rams at Niners on Thursday night. Okay.
That's a nice one as well.
Then we start our London games. The Ravens travel over to the Jags. To play that one. Will you be
early
in
morning? That's an early morning game as well. One of those 9:30 a.m. Eastern kickoffs.
I'd like to be there for that one. Why
don't you and I go the following week, not to skip ahead, when the Miami Dolphins host the New Orleans Saints?
I would love
Wembley
to do that.
Stadium.
If you can make that
Let's
happen,
see if we can do that.
Let's do it already. The Steelers are at the Bears in week three. I just want to cite for the audience right now. They can do this themselves, of course, but I like to point out the best matchup, Giants at the Eagles.
How about an interesting Bengals-Packers game?
Bengals at the Packers?
Yeah.
Whenever I hear that, I think, isn't that Brett Favre's first game was against the Bengals?
Might have been, yeah.
Won that game. I'm down with that. Then week four, the so-called greatest rivalry, or the oldest rivalry at least, Bears at Packers to kick things off. That's on NFL Network as well. Then week four. See, too early for me for this one. Steelers at Ravens. I think both those games shouldn't be played before November. Let the division hang in the balance. It always comes down to those two. Skins at Chiefs, a battle of Native American mascots. You have Raiders at Broncos.
Yeah, that's my game of the week, I think, week four. Raiders at Broncos, outside of, obviously, the Saints at Dolphins in London.
It'll be fun to see the Rams go in there. Well, they don't have the right uniforms yet, but still, Rams at Cowboys, that's a classic 70s matchup there. One of my sleeper teams, and other people are starting to jump on this one, too. I noticed Greg Rosenthal's hip on the Chargers. The Eagles are at the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to challenge for that division title this year.
Yep.
Next week five, again on NFL Network, Pats at Bucks. Monday night game is Vikings at Bears. The Packers are at the Cowboys. That's a gem every time those two teams seem to play.
Right.
That's a good one.
Chiefs-Texans as well, the Sunday night game in week five. That's a fun one as well, I think.
Chiefs-Texans.
Yeah.
Those two teams seem to meet in the play. They're on a bit of a Bengals-Texans kind of roll themselves there. All right, so now we're through 5 weeks. Let's take a break from looking at the schedule and move on to this. Spaghetti, what are we doing? We're doing over-undies.
Yep, it's on your card.
We want to do over-undies here. The NHL playoffs,
The
NFL has mastered being relevant for 12 months a year. But nevertheless, there are other sports going on.
There's some other stuff happening.
Some juicy postseasons happening right now. The NHL playoffs, handsome. I don't know how much you care, but they have been splendid so far. Right, Spaghetti? A
ton of overtime games. My Rangers are on in about 15 minutes or so.
No one cares about the Rangers. Don't bring them up, please. But all right.
Likewise with the Pens.
Well, not. They're the. I don't know if you heard. They won the cup last year. Did you hear about that?
Unfortunately, I have.
The NHL playoffs are in full swing, handsome. Today's over-undie pertains to this, including all the teams from the beginning of the playoffs. Over-undie 8.5. How many NFL cities are also being represented by their respective NHL team? This is so 16 teams made the NHL playoffs.
Right.
8.5, how many NFL cities also had an NHL team get to the postseason?
The answer to this?
No, I wouldn't. I'd have to do the math on how many cities have an NHL, an NFL team before I could even begin.
They were in the NFL playoffs and the NHL playoffs.
Did they have to make the playoffs or just in the NFL?
No, just have an NFL franchise in that same city.
Okay.
All right. Well, Pittsburgh is one.
Yes.
I'll start there. The
Giants, let's guess the number.
Did the Giants get to the postseason?
It doesn't matter about the
NFL
postseason.
Giants.
The NHL postseason.
Right.
But did they? I can't
remember. Giants
lost to the Packers.
Oh, yeah. All right. I couldn't
remember. Odell went to Miami.
That's right.
It was a big deal. We talked about it for a whole week.
For a whole week. We talked about it for about
It for the next week as well.
All right. So that's two. The Bruins made the playoffs, so that one counts. Chicago made the playoffs, so that one's there. The Florida Panthers did not make the playoffs. The Lightning missed. Lightning aren't in the playoffs.
Nor did the Bucks.
Dallas. Bay? Oh, Stars missed the playoffs. Oh, jeez.
It's under. I'm going to say it's under.
Does Anaheim count as L.A. or no? Doesn't count. Okay. The Kings didn't make the playoffs.
Is there a hockey team in Kansas City? I'm no help to you here.
No. Somebody tried to move the Penguins to KC about 8 years ago or 10 years ago.
Everyone knows there are no Penguins in KC.
There's no teams in Canada, so they're all out of the picture. There's no team in Seattle, no team in Portland. How many can there even be left? Did the Avs didn't make the playoffs? This is hard. It's got to be under.
We don't need to
kind of taking a little bit of a tour. The correct answer, we were right. It's 7. We got the Blackhawks. Nashville Predators. That's a good one. Minnesota, we should have gotten that. We did get Pittsburgh. I forgot about the Caps and the Washington, D.C., Boston, and the Rangers. There you go. That's our over-undies. And while we're at it, Handsome, it's almost draft time. I'm going to be going out there next Tuesday. Good stuff lined up already. Make sure you check out NFL.com through the draft. Every single pick of the draft, all 3 days, is covered, will be on camera, so make sure you're watching for that. Matt Money Smith anchoring it, Bucky Brooks, Lance Zierlein, and the rest. Me and Colleen Wolf running around.
Oh, you're on the outside.
In Philadelphia. No, I'm backstage on night one, so make sure you check it out. Night one, I'll be backstage right after the guys get drafted. They'll eventually make their way back to me, and I'll kibitz with them about foolishness.
Yep.
And undermine the greatest moment of their life with stupid questions. I'll do my best not to ask them stupid questions.
I'm sure it might happen a bit.
Handsome, by the way, have you noticed? I just am catching my reflection here. I gave myself a haircut on Monday.
I heard about that really in the last podcast.
Well, I was excited about it initially, but as it's grown out a few days, it's starting to not look so good, is it?
You're not a good hairdresser. I would say that.
I mean, maybe I am. With one try.
Of someone else, perhaps, but not of yourself. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Is it, though? Are we sure? Or is it like NFL scouting? People have convinced us. This is right. This is my 2017 epiphany.
Right.
We have been seduced by fancy words and harumphs when we attempt to speculate about who a team should draft. Oh, you don't understand what goes into it. Yeah. Well, then you hit about 500 with your picks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, NFL it's scout, not so. Exactly. It's not that scientific.
Same thing. How do we know? Maybe we've just been convinced.
Well,
I
can see instantly that you're not good at that.
So you're going to say it's a subpar hairdo.
I would say it's not. It's you're batting about 500. Same as your scouting.
In honor of the draft, I'm going to just move on and ignore it because I'm classy. Mock draft of things presented by Verizon. Right now, let's do fictional football players, Hank. That's one that Spaghetti and I came up with as Emma VP makes her way across to Philadelphia. Oh, banner news for Emma VP and for your eyeballs as well is Emma VP, now a published author. Go to NFL.com. She wrote an end around Dan Hanzus's ongoing segment on NFL.com. is now being penned in part by Emma VP.
Wow, good for her. I can see that fit. I'm surprised that Hanzus is able to relinquish the controls. It's a bit of a control freak, but I'm surprised. But she seems like exactly the right person for it.
Yeah, because she doesn't like to talk a lot. Hanzus will like that.
Right.
Hey,
listen to me.
I'm the boss. You do as I say or you get shown the road.
Whacked.
You don't know,
yeah. All right, let's draft something.
Okay.
We have to draft some stuff. Let's draft fictional football players. I'm going to let you go first. Who's the greatest fictional football player?
We've got a list in front of us. I want to be, I bet you Emma wrote this.
No, this is Spaghetti's work.
Really? Okay, this is a good list. I don't know. I mean, look.
I think it's a garbage list, if you don't mind me saying so, Spaghetti.
It's a little recent.
Yeah, do you you understand they made movies before 1998, right?
This was discussed between myself and Emma that we're younger children almost, and this is what our list is. So,
that's a weird posture to take. Hey, this is what you get, oldie.
I could also argue that the characters we did put on here are better than any of the older stuff.
Well, to me, the greatest quarterback in movie history is Rifleman from All the Right Moves. He, in fact, that guy goes on to play for the Jets in their replacement team. Shane Falco is on a fictional replacement team, but Rifleman in All the Right Moves, the high school guy, actually was on a real replacement team, the Jets, back in 87 or whatever that was. Handsome, go ahead. I bought you some time.
Thank you very much. I am going to, I mean, as soon as I see his second name on the list here, I am in love with Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. He is a...
You kind of look like him.
Thank you. That's almost the greatest compliment you could give me. Mm. Also, star of Bloodline, which is a good show you should check out on Netflix. Anyway, he's not, I mean, you don't draft coaches, but because he's here, I'm taking Coach Eric Taylor.
He's going to be a coach?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do?
I'm going to take
a high school ball coach.
Yes. I feel like he's ready to make the move.
All right.
I mean, you saw what he did with the East Dillon Panthers and then the West Dillon Panthers or the West Dillon. I can't remember what they were called.
I will take with my first pick. Is this, or you have some of the guys from Any Given Sunday. You have Willie Beeman on there.
Steeman Willie Beeman. I mean, Lawrence Taylor played for that team. He'd be a good pick as well.
North Dallas 40, not represented mm-hmm. here.
Well, you could pick Nick anyone. Nolte. It's just a suggestion.
What about who did Hines Ward play in the Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, Batman.
He returned a kickoff for a touchdown in that one.
I believe he played himself, though.
He was Hines Ward in that
one? I don't think he was. Was he? He wasn't playing for the Steelers. He was playing for a fictional.
I could go, yeah, you know, you could go back to Heaven Can Wait and go Joe Pendleton, who Warren Beatty plays
He's
the Rams
dead.
QB. No, but he inhabits a body, and then he plays QB. He goes into the game, and he beats the Pittsburgh Steelers in the ongoing senseless attack by Hollywood on Pittsburgh sports team. I never understood that. That's a conversation for another time. This is fictional, guys. So not just, okay, I'm going to take Rifleman. He's my quarterback. He can sling it. That's my quarterback. You go, Handsome.
Okay, I'm going to take an NFL Network creation. Leon Sandcastle was essentially a fictional souped-up version of Deion Sanders, I believe, even maybe played by Deion Sanders.
Charlie Brown, he can't even – the kicker?
Yeah, it's funny. There's also a dog on this list.
Who's the dog? Oh, Air Bud. I you know what? I don't know. Oh, Forrest Gump was a terrific kick returner. Yeah, he never even got touched, it seemed like. Ryan Gosling is in Remember the Titans. I didn't know that. I never saw that one. I'm going to go. You know what? I know I'm doubling down here on quarterback, but I think I can use him as a nice shifty running back. I'm going to go Paul Crewe, longest yard.
Hmm. I'm short a quarterback at this stage, and although I haven't watched tape on him at all, Johnny Utah from Point Break, you know, what he showed, apart from the knee injury, what he showed when he was chasing bad guys,
right.
To me, he's got heart, he's got grit, he's got everything you need from a quarterback. I feel like he's going to be my guy to
What he doesn't have, though, is an ACL, you know? Well, I mean, like he can't run. He was destined for the stars.
Yep.
After he won the Rose Bowl for Ohio State.
But it didn't happen, but I'm giving him that shot that he's been looking for.
I'm going to take, because I think he'll make the locker room fun, I'm going to take Rod Tidwell from Jerry Maguire.
Tidwell's a good pick.
I think he works hard. I think if we learned anything, he wants it for the team. He wants it for the family. I want that in my locker room.
Okay. I am going to take – I need
Finkel. Ray Finkel's on the list?
Finkel?
From Ace Ventura.
I need a kick returner.
Yes.
I know this guy can do it. I've seen it on tape. Forrest Gump.
Ah! I wanted Gump myself.
Gump is going to be taking back kicks for me, and I feel like we're going to be flying with him back there.
Move over Devin Hester. These are some bonus points that you might get there. And then I'll take I'm going to take the Icebox from Little Giants. That's what you need. I want to run stuff. You're not going to run on this football team.
That's right. A good one.
All right, let's move back to that. So there you have it, our first mock draft. We have another one we'll do before the end of the show. We got to do we're going to do one after the show. We'll figure that one out before. We'll figure out what we'll do. Handsome, what you want to just draft stuff?
I just want to draft things.
Okay. Hierarchy of what's important
just,
in the world.
Maybe not even that. Just things.
Just stuff that you want.
Okay. Or stuff I don't want.
Right, just let's continue before Dwayne Brown gets here. Where's our schedule? What else? Thursday night football, week six, Eagles at Panthers could be a good one. What do you think? Carson Wentz, what's your best guess? And that's what it is. Carson Wentz now has some good wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You think the offensive line, just from health and guys returning from suspension and so on, that the line should return to being a positive net for that team.
Everything you hear is that they're going to target a running back pretty early in the draft, so let's hope he's got someone else behind him to help out.
Mixon, perhaps. So what do you think? Bet, what's your best guess on Wentz?
I think Wentz will be closer to what we saw in those first 5 weeks when people were swooning over him than he was at the back end of the season when everyone was a little bit down on him.
I like that guy. Big one in the AFC West, I suspect, for division supremacy. Chargers at the Raiders. I think everybody's handing it to the Raiders this year. I don't know why the Chiefs would regress. I do think they're going to take a quarterback, though, and I wonder if that will muddy things a little bit for the Alex Smith tenure. But
well, at the same time that the Chargers are taking on the Raiders in Oakland, the Chiefs will be hosting your Steelers, so they'll have that's a pretty big test for them as well.
The Dolphins are
at the Falcons. Atlanta.
All right, there's your team. Patriots at the Jets. That should be a rollover game. That's the one team that probably is not going to be good in the AFC East this year. It's those Jets. Week 7, Chiefs at the Raiders. A dandy. It's my favorite. Are they doing Color Rush this year?
I don't know. I hope so. I love those Color Rush.
I don't mind it. It's fine most of the time, but not when it's a classic rivalry. I like when the Chiefs wear the red pants and go up to Oakland. That's the
I'd
best
like to
uniform
be all
matchup.
In red.
No. The best uniform matchup in sport is when the Chiefs wear the road red pants to go up and play the black jerseyed silver and black Raiders. Wonder what that'll be like in Vegas. We don't have to. Do we know yet where that's going to be? You have all the inside poop now. Is that going to be 18 or 19?
I don't know.
You don't know yet. All right. The Skins and Eagles round that one out on Monday night. Ooh, Bengals at Pittsburgh. That's become
that's a big one.
A must watch.
And then
Falcons
we're back in London.
There you go.
We're back
there,
in London that week.
There's your where's that one? Oh yeah.
There's a couple of West Coast teams coming.
Ooh, is that a night game? What time does that start locally then?
6 p.m.
What's BST?
British Standard Time.
Is it all the same time zone there?
Yes, it's a very
small
country.
It makes sense. It's a thin little island.
Yeah, it's a thin little island.
I never thought about that. So you're all on one time zone.
Yeah.
Oh, how liberating for your brain
to
not have
to
worry
about
what time. What time is it, Mom? Same time as it is with you, young Henry. Don't forget, here in the UK, we're all on the same clock. Mother's Day is coming up, handsome. I want
to
get your mum on the phone.
We should get both
it all
of them.
Out. We'll get my mother, but I want Ike's mother to be here.
Yep.
Let's have a powwow with all the moms. Maybe we could do the whole show and let them just sit and have a conversation with each other. That'd be great if we could line that up. And then make sure we don't miss on this. Your Sunday night game, that's your Super Bowl 51 rematch. Falcons
at Patriots. That's the one. That's what I was talking about earlier.
So if it's 6 p.m. BST, British Standard Time, what time is it here?
What do you mean?
What time is it?
Now.
You mean what time? I don't know.
It was the same time. You can see it's 1 o'clock Eastern, which is 10 o'clock Pacific a.m.
Oh, it'll be 1:00 when this game kicks off.
What they did is they took the normal kickoff time and then they added 5 hours.
I like it when they
do
it in the morning. I find that delightful to wake up even earlier, to wake up at like 6 a.m. and start watching football. I love it. Don't jive me. I love it. Oh, speaking of waking up early, I'm coming in early with a bunch of NFL media colleagues for the mock draft on NFL Network.
Ooh, I love that show. That's
been
my
in
favorite
it for
thing.
Many moons.
Yeah, you're almost the sort of the longest tenured guy on there, I should think.
Ike, Marie, Cynthia Freeland, Colleen, I know is going to be
Mike Mayock going to be part of it? I like it when he makes fun of you. He pretends every time that he has no idea who you are and then mocks you.
He does a great job of it.
The whole thing.
Calls me Dave Damachek.
Hey, Damachek.
Sell that he doesn't know who I am.
Yep.
Hey, there he is. Gives me that like every year. Like, oh, there he is.
There he is.
That's still Dave.
And then you, as you make your pick, he kind of just talks over it. Because he's like, it really doesn't. No one needs to hear what this guy's going to say. He's a clown.
I'm telling your mother you said that. Dolphins at Ravens, Thursday night football. That's a fun one. And a nice uniform matchup, too. People consider me curmudgeonly about this, but the purple and the aqua happen to go nicely together.
Here's the thing, though. If Color Rush happens, that could go horribly
That could be
wrong.
Vomitous. I'm glad you point. How many London games are there?
There's
Vikes
four
or
of them
the Browns?
This year. We're so excited.
I knew
think
there were
about more. It.
the Vikes. Well, I don't know how exciting Vikes at Browns is. But
well,
right.
It's one of those early morning ones. You can get up early and watch it.
All right, I'll do that. Broncos at the Chiefs rounded out on Monday night. Steelers at Lions is your Sunday night game.
That, by the way, is a pretty uniform matchup that doesn't happen very often.
What did you think of the Lions' new get-ups?
I've obviously heard your thoughts on it as a podcast listener. I think that they've done better to lose the black. I kind of like that all gray look that they're going to roll out from time to time. But I think overall it's an improvement.
I'm going to have to see it on the field. I can't render a verdict.
What, the gray
on
one?
The gray. I agree with that. I'm not positive yet. Your Thursday night game, again on NFL Network, Bills at the Jets. Your Sunday night game, this is week 9, of course, Raiders at Dolphins. Oh, that's a 70s rivalry.
The Dolphins last season rolled out those 70s throwback uniforms, I think, twice during the season. If they're going to do it, NBC, Sunday Night Football against the Raiders, that's the time to bring back the fish jumping.
Did you hear that, Dolphins? That's the right move. It's the only move. You're playing the Raiders, for goodness sakes. Let's do that. Then Thursday night, week 10, Seahawks at Cards, NFL Network. Your Sunday night game in week 10 is the Patriots at the Broncos. When do they get the flex? 12? You can start flexing in week
12? It's 5, actually, this season.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's
wow.
Much earlier. Sunday night's week 5.
I know
five
the Patriots are a draw, but
change.
I wouldn't be stunned if that was.
I think the Broncos are a draw as well.
They are, but I think they're going to come in last place. And people mocked me when they were undefeated halfway through the season or whatever that was. But I was proven correct that that team regressed, and I don't know what's going to happen to turn them around this season. Week 11, Thursday night, Titans at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunday night, Eagles at Cowboys.
Well, hold on. You skipped over, I think, one of my favorite games of the season, the Raiders hosting the Patriots in Mexico City. A Raiders team looking, you know, that was a team that we all talked about. Maybe they're the ones that could knock out the Patriots in the playoffs. Then Derek Carr hurts himself. Now they go down to old Mexico.
It's funny. They want to do the Steelers down there. Apparently the most popular teams are Cowboys, Raiders, and Pittsburgh. I guess that's
and the Patriots.
True in America,
yep.
Too. But we got a wrap, Spaghetti.
Got a guest coming in here for MTS, so yeah, unfortunately.
You stink.
For who?
Well,
who
wait. I want to wait a second. Before we wrap, I just want to say, like, because this is my favorite thing to review, and we've reached it now, week 12, your Thursday Thanksgiving lineup. This is the most important.
Yeah, this is it.
In the schedule release, aside from your rooting interests and where your team might be in close proximity, if you live around the country, my team's going to be somewhere that I can drive to, that's big. But nationally, the biggest games. Thanksgiving games. Vikings at Lions. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if that's a good one.
They're always the first one is.
I think the Chargers are going to be good at the Cowboys.
I like that.
I don't like the uniform matchup.
I do.
Really?
Yep.
Well, they'll do something. They usually break out some different kind of uniforms. Then your big primetime matchup, the Giants at the Skins.
I like it. I like that. People are going to like it.
All right. Let's look ahead then real quick before we wrap it up here. I'm sorry. See, we didn't get through it with all our foolishness.
Well, let's pick one more game that we both really like.
I want to jump to Christmas because that's what matters too.
Okay.
It's like when you're on vacation, you know.
I going to be watching?
On your break, Saturday, December 23rd, you have the Colts at the Ravens, and that's a 4:30 East Coast start time, so it's a little later, and then a primetime Vikings at the Packers. A lot of primetime action, it feels like to me, for the Vikings, who are a wild card in how relevant they're going to be. We don't know Sharif Floyd, Adrian Peterson, we don't know what it is. Sam Bradford, we know the Vikings are going to be worthy of all these primetime slots, I'm not sure. Then Sunday, you have a full slate of games there, highlighted by... guess Lions at Bengals.
Seahawks, Cowboys. That's the game.
Oh, look at this. See, Eddie Spaghetti was telling us we have to wrap it up in my ear, and I ignored it. And now our boss, Mark Brady, is coming.
Has he shut us down?
Yeah. He's like, but he wasn't, but there was no mirth in his voice in doing it. Will you use the voice you just used, but do it on the mic? We'd like to hear the way you did it. The grave tones that you use to let us know we have to move on.
Dave, you got to wrap it up right now.
Like that. That's what I heard in my
ear. What's happening, Mark? What's coming? I want to know. I'm excited about it.
You have to do your mock draft of things.
Oh, yeah. We're going to draft.
Oh, we're going to do that right now. Yeah, oh, so we don't really have. We're not wrapping everything. We're just wrapping the schedule right. bit, and we get to do the nonsense still.
Sunday.
The nonsense won't be seen until next week, though.
Christmas Eve. Is your Christmas Eve game starting at 3:25, which is a weird and wonky start. The start times of these games are kind of weird, but it's Seahawks at Cowboys is your late afternoon game.
Why is there no Sunday night football on Christmas Eve?
Because it's enough already, they figure, you know? Let people
Seahawks,
sit around the
Cowboys.
Tree.
Why Seahawks Cowboys?
I think people. I bet you there would be a fan base that would balk about that. I would be happy to be out there.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve. But there'd be people, oh, you know, it's a family. Come on, NFL. Mm. Know your place. Then Monday, 1 year to the day that the Pittsburgh Steelers claimed the AFC North crown, on Antonio Brown's lunge reach, as Eric Weddle face masked him and tried to stop him, but he barely, Antonio Brown got it across the goal line and delivered a division crown. The Steelers are at the Texans on Christmas Day, and then the Raiders are at the Eagles in primetime. That's a good one. And you can look up the rest there on NFL.com. It's all available for you. Handsome Hank, it's been a pleasure to see you once again.
Nice to see you too, Dave.
I look forward to swinging in Philadelphia next
week. Yeah, let's get some dinner.
Well, we'll definitely continue our culinary tour. I hear Philadelphia has some great food over there, some good sit-down restaurants, not cheesesteaks. I'm talking. We'll also eat cheesesteaks.
We should eat cheesesteaks.
Make no mistake. All right. That's it. But right now, take it away, Dwayne Brown. All right. Maybe, I mean, for many years over the last decade, this guy would be considered the best left tackle in all of pro football. The Hokie from Virginia Tech. Now the Houston Texans' main man protecting the backside of whoever is under center in 2017. Let's try and figure out who that's going to be with Dwayne Brown. How are you, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Certainly, certainly. Thank you for making the time. We just, as you sat down, we just figured out that you and I live in the same neighborhood in Los Angeles. Yeah. Fun. We're going to hang out?
We should.
Okay.
We should.
We should. That's not saying yes. You're just saying, like, yes. We should isn't like, yes, definitely, we will.
Yeah, we will.
I mean, if you're not excited about it, then you know what? Let's see how this goes, and then we'll talk. We'll revisit this at the end. Something we've been doing here the last few weeks, understandably, as draft 2017 draws nigh, we've been going through it with our pal Maurice Jones-Drew. Five running backs went ahead of him. We reviewed that. Malcolm Jenkins joined us. We went through the 13 names in the 2009 draft that went before him. It's fascinating stuff. It really shows you how hit and miss the draft process can be. Let's look at some of the names in 2008 when Dwayne Brown went. First off the board, Jake Long. Who's had the better career? Dwayne Brown. That's who, right?
Yeah.
No, don't be shy. I know you're modest. No, but you know.
He had some good years. Then injuries set in on him.
About Chris Long.
Chris Long's had a great career.
He's had he has a ring.
He has a ring.
I'm still going Dwayne Brown though.
Well, that's a good argument.
Matt Ryan, ice. He went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Ryan's had an incredible career.
Then there's Darren McFadden. Now here we're getting into the good area. Glenn Dorsey, Dwayne Brown beats him. Vernon Golston, you got him beat. Cedric Ellis, you got him beat. Derek Harvey, definitely. Keith Rivers, yes. Gerard Mayo, yes. Leotis McKelvin, yes. Ryan Clady, how do you feel about that?
He had a great stretch as well. Had a tough few years of injuries. But when he's been healthy, you know, he's been to the Pro Bowl. He's been to more Pro Bowls than I have.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How hard is it for you, or how easy is it, I guess I should say? I often say the one thing, you know, pro football, as big as it is in, you know, to American sports fans, there is a funny paradox, which is nobody really, or 99% legitimately, I think, of football fans can't truly assess quality offensive line play.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Do you care? Because people like me go off of, well, we know, as you just mentioned, how many Pro Bowls and everything else. Can you assess who's wow, Clady, boy, he really sits down. You know, he knows how to drop that bum and anchor himself. And I mean, can you do that? And can you assess a college prospect in, you know, one series kind of thing and say this guy's going to be a star?
It's hard. It's hard because I mean, I was a project coming out of college. You know, I played 1 year at left tackle my senior year, and you know, I was very athletic, but not nearly as polished as I was, you know, my third year in the NFL when I really started to take off. So it's kind of hard. I think every case is different. You know, you have some guys that have just been groomed to play that position for a long time, and they really are very technically sound. You have some guys that are just freakish athletes that get away with a lot of bad technique, but you can tell that they're going to be great once they get really, really, really coached up. So I think it varies.
But it's interesting to me that, you know, you hear Leonard Fournette. Now there are rumors, and it, you know, it's easy to say, let's just get to the draft already. There's too much analysis, all this. But like we say, there are plenty of misses along with the hits in this draft process. Is that ultimately the thing that is hard to really for these evaluators to figure out, is if they have the will? You know, I don't know if Leonard Fournette deserves those charges, that we don't know if he has the passion to play pro football. But one thing that has come through for me that's very clear talking to successful pro football players is you got to want to do it, because it's live out there. It's no joke. You can't be out there like trying to, you can't be a guy, I just want to make money. I want to stay healthy and get out of this thing. You have to have a certain will to knock heads and everything. Is that the thing that you can't gauge in this process?
Yeah, it's tough because the grind of a college season, the day-to-day is totally different. You know, once you enter the NFL, this is your livelihood. You're not going to class. You don't, you know, your social life is different. And training camp is no joke. I think when you come to your first training camp, you realize you have to have a love and a passion for the game to want to do that over and over and over again. When you take those first few hits, you know what I mean? You know, you're going against some grown men. You know, my first game, my first NFL regular season game was against James Harrison at Pittsburgh. And that was a hell of an introduction. You know what I mean? And you have to, you know, you have to dig deep and feel like, am I ready for this? Am I cut out for this? Do I want to do this for however many years I can? So that gets kind of uncovered pretty quickly, you know, and it's kind of hard. I mean, I don't think it's that hard to gauge that in college. You can look at a player's demeanor when they play, of how they're going to be, to an extent, you know, once you factor in the amount of money they get. You know, I think, you know, them wanting to be there, the leadership they have in that locker room, the older guys bringing them along, I think they'll be fine.
It just is. Yeah, it's fascinating to me because you do hear, why did that? So why didn't that guy? He was, you know, his pedigree was beyond quite. Why did he kind of flame out? It almost seems like it always comes back to, yeah, it turns out he just didn't have the desire, didn't have the fire.
Yeah, it happens. It happens sometimes, and you know, you see it. You see it as an older guy. You know, with the younger guys that come in, they just aren't as committed to it, you know, to committed to being the best player they can be. Some people just want to halfway do it and just get by and make a living and try to save some money and say that they did it for a few years. And you know, you try to weed those guys out as much as you can.
Not with where the Texans have been. You can't afford that sort of stuff on where the Houston Texans have been. You guys are, I feel like, right on the cusp. So to round it out, Jonathan Stewart's had a nice career, injuries notwithstanding. Chris Williams goes to the Bears out of Vandy. Brandon Albert, a lot of tackles. They say the 2017 draft is the worst draft for offensive linemen in 15 years. Wow. This one was loaded with talent. DRC goes to the Cardinals. Gosder Chehalis. Flacco goes to the Ravens. Pitt's own Jeff Oda, Aqib Talib, Sam Baker, Felix Jones, Rashard Mendenhall. Boy, a lot of OTs listed there.
Lucky for me.
About half and half.
Yeah.
Some worked, some didn't.
Yeah.
Lucky. Ended up, Texans got a steal, eh?
Yeah, eighth tackle taken in that draft and still win the first round.
Why is it something that scout around here, Daniel Jeremiah, brought up to me a number of years ago, and it's a fascinating point, especially now with guys are back there in the gun. Why is left tackle? You always hear, you know, you need a QB, you need a, if you can get a shutdown corner, and then it seems like another key detail for successful teams is a really strong left tackle. Why, though, is that more important in the way the game's being played now? It seems to me the right tackle is the guy, if I'm a quarterback, I don't want the, and I'm right-handed, obviously, I don't want to see the pass rusher coming at me. At least let me be blind to it. If I see the guy bearing down on me, that's what's going to spook me, right?
No. I mean, if you see it, you have pocket presence. You know when to get rid of the ball. Even if it's just throw it away, you know that if the tackle's riding his hip, you can step up, get around him. As a left tackle, you have no idea. You have no idea what's back there. You don't know when to throw it. You don't know when to try to evade someone. So I think it's been more important. I will say this, though. Over the last few years, the guys rushing the right tackle have really, really evolved.
Hmm.
You know, when we played Denver, you know, I might have blocked Von Miller maybe four times that game. Against Oakland, you know, Khalil Mack switched sides quite a bit, but majority of the year he rushed the right tackle. You know, so it's, you know, right tackle is important. It's really kind of equaling out to the left tackle at this point because of the talent on the other side of the ball.
All right, let's get into it. Let's talk about it now. It's what everybody wants to know about. First of all, take me back a few days, a couple weeks ago. Tony Romo. I can't do it. I got to hang it up. I'm going to the broadcast booth instead of to the Texans huddle. Shocking, disappointing. What?
I was a bit shocked. You know, I didn't know what to expect. Really, you know, I heard a lot of the talks coming into him possibly coming to the Texans, and you know, as a veteran player, as a guy that played a long time in this league and played against the Cowboys a lot, and a fan of the game, you know, you respect his legacy and everything that he's accomplished. You know. You know, looking aside from the injuries he's had, you know, when he's been out there, he's been one of the most productive quarterbacks in the league year in, year out. You know, so that opportunity to play with someone like that, it's intriguing. You know what I mean? It's intriguing, and you think about it. When he decided to hang it up, I was a little surprised, you know, but I wouldn't say I was disappointed. You know, you move on, you know what I mean? And you know, we have Tom Savage, the guy who's a young guy, hasn't played a lot, but definitely has a lot of talent, you know, and looking forward to seeing what he can bring.
I'll tell you, to me, I know this is obviously pretty simplistic, but to me, the way I judge quarterbacks, and it tends to work out way more often than not for me, is you just look at a guy throw a football. Like, he cuts the figure of an NFL quarterback. Yeah. Whatever pedigree he has or anything else, I mean, just watch Tom Savage throw a ball. He clearly has a whip, and he's a big guy. Yeah. He at least physically looks like a guy who would be playing NFL quarterback, right?
Absolutely. He has a big-time arm. He can make all the throws. He has some tough breaks, you know what I'm saying, with injuries. But we know – we're all confident in him because we see him every day, you know, and obviously practices aren't the games, but you see the potential there. You see what he can bring day in and day out. You see his preparation. You know what kind of guy he is. So we're all confident in him. People on the outside looking in don't know as much about him as we do, but he's definitely got it.
One guy who did not – who passed my look test, my eyeball test. That guy looks like a quarterback. He's got a whip and so on. Ryan Mallett. Why didn't that work out there?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I like the smile on your face when I asked
I don't know.
That.
Mallett's a good dude, man.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody likes him. Everybody
that's my guy. You know what I mean? Good friend of mine, you know, when he was there, and I talked to him a couple times since he's moved on to Baltimore. I don't know. I mean, he had a big-time arm. I'm not a
– seemed like O'Brien really liked him, at least, I mean, was intrigued by the talent there.
Yeah, I mean, they spent time together in New England, so, you know, he knew what he could bring. I know he got injured as well. He came in – his first game playing, when we played at Cleveland, his first year there, you know, it was an incredible performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ran the offense better than anybody I'd seen. You know, coming in, no huddle. Had Cleveland faking injuries to call timeouts because they were tired, just moving the ball up and down. You know, he got injured with his pec, I believe, and, you know, we played Cincinnati, and, you know, he wasn't himself, you know, and after that, you know, not sure what happened.
I think once there's some good buzz about him or you know, no negative kind of talk about him, I bet you he's going to be – in this NFL 21st century when everybody's trying to figure out who's a quarterback who you can get by with or succeed with, I bet you Ryan Mallett. We're going to hear more from him than just as a backup in Baltimore. I think he's going to land somewhere and have a second act in the NFL and be something special. Meantime, though – let's play a game we've been playing here, not just for the Texans, because I think you guys, if that works out at QB, 1A in the AFC, favorite to get to the Super Bowl? I mean, okay, you're not going to – nobody's going to knock off Brady as the favorite to get there until Brady goes away, but I feel like you guys are loaded. And J.J. Watt, what's the latest on J.J. And his health coming back?
He's doing pretty good, you know, from what I know. He's working his tail off like J.J. does. You know, I mean, he's the hardest worker I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, he's had plenty of time off now to recover, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring.
Who's harder to block in practice, him or Clowney?
Oh, man. Right now, I would say J.J.'s a little bit harder. Clowney's evolving a lot at a rapid rate, but you know he's had some injuries. This has been his first year healthy, and he's just learning how dominant he can be, and it's scary. It's scary. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He's learning more moves. You know, but JJ is a very polished player, and I mean I've been going against him for 6 years now, so he knows me pretty well, and he knows what I'm going to do to counter whatever he does, you know. So it's a battle.
As they say, probably mutually beneficial, legitimately. Two pro bowlers going head-to-head every day. You're not going to see anything tougher than that on Sunday, right?
It's amazing. I mean, our practices, you know, me going against guys like, you know, J.J., Clowney, Merciless, you know, it's you can't get anything like that.
You have the stench of Brian Cushing's vomit everywhere to contend with. That probably undermines your ability to, you know, give maximum effort, right? Does he do that a lot?
Before every game.
Before every game.
Yeah.
Did you give him the business when he was on Hard Knocks throwing up everywhere?
Nah. I mean, we've come to expect it.
All right, let's ask this question then. That's what I was going to get to. Cuddy, cap, or draft, the Houston Texans edition. What's the best solution here? Because you guys, like I say, it's not like if things can break right 2 or 3 years from now, we might win a Super Bowl. I think 2017. You guys are built to win a Super Bowl right now. You guys are loaded if the QB works out. No disrespect to Tom Savage, but if you want to fail safe, if Tom Savage were to, you know, hurt a toe today and he couldn't play in 2017, who's the best choice, Cuddy, Cap, or the draft?
I don't know much about the draft this year, to be honest.
What about Jay Cutler? You've been around long enough. I feel like when he's surrounded by talent, he succeeds.
He has an elite arm.
Yeah.
You know, that's never been in question. He can make some big-time throws. He's a good player to me. You know, a lot of people have a knock on him, you know, for whatever reason. But he's got a lot of talent.
I don't want to put you on the spot because Tom Savage is your guy now, and so that's the only guys who can't really, you know, they put you on the spot to say, I'd rather have Kaepernick than that, you know. But no. Kaepernick, though, would be an interesting play there given the model that the 49ers of 2011-ish laid out for the rest of the league, which is to say dominate on defense, and you have a couple special playmakers out there, including a guy like Kaepernick. Just make a couple plays. Don't turn the ball over. That's a winning formula, it seems.
He's got a lot of talent too, man. You know, in that team that they had, you know, great defense. They had a great running game, and they had a couple players for him to pitch the ball to, and obviously he's a big-time dual threat. You know, he's one of the, you know, fastest quarterbacks the league has ever seen. So, you know, he brings a lot to the table as well.
I'd like to see him get a shot, too. I talk about teams that need QBs. I can't believe Colin Kaepernick's name isn't being offered up there as the solution for several teams. You're a large fellow, you know, big. What are you, like 6'7"?
6'5".
6'5". You seem much taller than that when you shadowed our door there. No. Rare, if ever, MVP behind the glass, has anyone in 66 been as large as Dwayne Brown. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
All right. So maybe you can make me feel better and help me restore some dignity. Everybody makes fun of me because I like to drink a nice rosé. We're in Southern California. It's warm outside, a nice crisp rosé, maybe even if it has some bubbles to it, some sparkling rosé, if you please. Is that acceptable or you know, or do you look down on me as a man?
I don't look down on you.
Thank you. I mean, literally, you do. Like we said, you're 6'5", but
it's not my go-to. Hey, man.
Well, that's kind of passive aggressive.
No,
you can do it.
Look,
I wouldn't.
When we hang out, you have your rosé, and I'll have whatever I have, and no judgment.
Okay, see, that's all I ask. Yeah. That's all I ask for. Couple food-related questions for you. What cereal has the best residual milk? You know, all
man,
the cereal's gone. It's just the milk's left now.
Have to be a tie between Cocoa Krispies. Mm-hmm. And
good choice. I like that. Very chocolate.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Everybody loves the cinnamon.
I like Frosted Flakes too, though.
Can I? That's a good one too, because the sugar rubs off. I like the Apple Jacks too.
Apple
it turns
Jacks.
Pink. You know, it's kind of nice, like a rosé, if you will.
There you go.
Is chili a soup?
No.
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 Would you ever have chili and soup at one sitting? If you and I are out and I'm drinking rosé, you're like, yeah, I'm going to have an appetizer and then I'm going to have a main course. Would you ever get soup and chili, chili or soup? Chili and soup.
I wouldn't. That's too close. It is close.
Yeah.
Close. Too close to have both.
Too close. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. And what's the best egg preparation?
I like scrambled eggs, but also have been eating hard-boiled eggs more
there you
lately.
Go. That's good. Yeah, I think that's the right way.
Yeah.
You know what's nice? A soft-boiled egg. Poached, too.
I hate that.
I mean, all right. I mean, you don't have to attack everything.
Sorry. My wife loves it, and I always look at her funny whenever she eats it.
All right. What's your favorite activity?
Favorite activity? Basketball.
Playing basketball?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? This is a new game. This is a mind bender to see what really matters to you.
All righty.
Here we go. I'm going to give you four items. Mm-hmm. You tell me. Whichever one you put in first position, you can do unlimited for the rest of your life.
Got to.
Whichever's in second position, once every 3 months, and then that's it.
Got to.
Third position, once every 3 years. The fourth one, never again. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go. TV, sex, pizza, playing basketball.
What was the third one?
Pizza or sex. I forget which order I read them in.
All right.
TV.
Pizza will be last.
No more pizza for you.
I don't have to have.
I don't understand people who say goodbye to pizza forever.
I don't have to have.
You can sustain yourself on it forever. In fact, if I didn't love TV so much, I would say pizza because I could eat it forever. You see? You could eat pizza every day. There's no other food that fits that description. You can't eat anything else every day, but you could eat pizza. But anywho, this isn't my list. This is yours. Go ahead.
Number one.
Goodbye to pizza. Sorry, Dwayne Brown. Sorry, pizza.
It said
I might eat
day.
Pizza in front of you while I drink rosé just to torment you. Go ahead.
Every day, 3 months, and 3 years.
That's right.
Oh, man.
TV, pizza, sex.
All right. The 3 years would be TV.
Oh, all right.
Sex is
gonna be watching
one.
Any games. Oh, sex is number
sex
one.
Sex number one.
Okay, all right.
Basketball number two.
Basketball once every 3 months. No TV.
So does this mean like I can't watch?
That's it. You
Netflix
can't watch
on
it
on my iPad.
No, that's it.
It's not TV though.
From this day, well, that's a loophole. See, you're very clever. I don't like that. All right, listen. Oh, we have one more thing for you to do here. Oh, we're gonna get.
What's going to Dear Ikey?
Oh, we should do that, yes. If you have our pal Ike Taylor, who you played against in 2008 as well. By the way, David Carr works here if you want to catch up with him.
Yeah.
Did you catch up with him? Did you talk to him about James? Did you say, like, sorry about what happened against Harrison?
He wasn't there then.
Oh, he wasn't there
no.
yet? Or
he might not have spoke to me if he was there.
By the way, what are we going to do about the uniforms? Let's jazz them up a little bit. Right?
I'm with you on that one.
I talked to Arian Foster some years ago about this, and he agreed 100%. Yeah, he had some ideas too. You know what fixes it, though, without a major overhaul? Just go back to the red socks. That's it. Why the navy pants with the navy socks? It looks weird. The red socks with the navy pants. That's a winner.
I know. I switch my combinations up on Madden when I play. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can do that.
Yeah. So I always come back and report it, you know, the results and what I thought about it, but it falls on deaf ears.
Has Bill O'Brien yelled at you? He seems scary.
He doesn't care about uniforms at all.
No, does he care? But has he yelled at you about anything?
No.
He doesn't yell at you. He seems like he'd get under your skin. You know, he has a bit. Some guys that yell at you, you kind of like, whatever. The color. He seems like he would actually intimidate actual large human beings. True?
Yeah, he's intense, man.
He seems
he's intense, but he's a great coach. So outside of him yelling and screaming, there's a lot of constructive criticism.
I buy it, man.
From it.
Like I say, it's no. I guess it is a little disrespectful, but if you guys just get some good QB play, you guys should have been in this. I have often said, 2011, when you went to Baltimore, you had them beat. Arian Foster was having a day. That fourth quarter, you were grinding them, and the Ravens had – do you remember that towards the end of that game?
I remember.
As you guys got going in the fourth quarter, you were rolling them play after play, 6 yards a touch for Arian Foster. They had no answer, and they called a or T.J. Yates for what decided to throw a deep ball that Ed Reed picked off. I think you guys really – that was a year you could have wound up in New Orleans and playing for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we were close.
You remember – I mean, that felt that way to you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, yeah, you guys – I mean, you were physically defeating the Ravens that day, and they just that one turnover turned it around. Dwayne Brown, what a pleasure. We hope all works out at the quarterback and beyond for the Houston Texans this year. I'd like to see you guys break through because I really love the way that team's built. You got some good guys on that team, including you. Listen, you know what? We'll figure it out all out over a big rosé and not pizza in the near future, all right?
Sounds good, man.
There he is, Dwayne Brown of the Houston Texans, everybody.